The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, being mindful is not the same thing as being thoughtful. So we're not, mindfulness doesn't arise through the filter of thinking about things. There might be thought involved in being mindful, but we are not thinking the experience. It'd be like looking at a sunset and start thinking about the sunset versus seeing it, or listening to music. And, you know, you can take in the music, you can feel it sometimes in your body even, the bass and the beat and whatever. And you can feel the sensations, the pleasantness, you can kind of feel the music. And it'd be very different than thinking about the music. Was that a C sharp that they just played? You know, I wonder what key that piece is in. And it's interesting to have those kinds of thoughts, but we're not really listening to, not experiencing or feeling the music if we're thinking about the construction of the music and all that. So mindfulness is more like a feeling, sensing our experience than it is thinking about the experience. And so one of the things we actually learn to do when we do mindfulness practice is to step away from our thinking a little bit. Or say it differently, most people take up residence in their thoughts. That's where they live. And it's okay. I mean, thoughts are fine, but we don't have to live in them. And so the idea is to kind of take up residence in your body. And then so the thoughts are like a room or an appendage or, part of the overall thing. But it's not the show that's going on. And so to be able to relax in the body, settle down, and kind of begin noticing how the body experiences what goes on. How does the body experience the music? How does the body experience the conversation? How does the body experience the meditation that you're having? I know people who have thought a lot about their meditation, and the thinking about the meditation actually kind of keeps them a little bit from being settled, because they have all these ideas about meditation, about getting mindful, being concentrated. They've listened to people like me too much, and so they have all these instructions. And they thought, now I'm supposed to do mindfulness of the breathing, and which step of the 16 steps of Anapanasati I'm supposed to be doing. But then there's the four foundations of mindfulness, and there's 13 exercises there, and which one should I do there? But maybe metta, or there's four Brahmaviharas, and which, you know. And so there's all this information, right, and all these ideas, and negotiating and thinking about it, as opposed to, what am I feeling right now? What's happening for me right now? Oh, it's not good enough to feel. You're supposed to have some purpose and some thing you're supposed to do and get someplace and figure out. No, what are you feeling right now? Come back and feel and be here. Breathe here. So the idea is over and over again, the emphasis for the Buddha was a direct experience we're having. So direct experience is something which is, for the most part, unmediated by our thoughts. If you put your hand under flowing water, the experience of that, of the fluidity, of the coolness perhaps, and the wetness of it, that's a direct experience that is different than thinking about it. So if you close your eyes and someone takes your hand, and I'm going to put something in your hand, guess what it is? And so they put something really soft in your hand. And so first you just experience the softness. You don't even know what it is. Oh, soft. Soft. Oh. And then you start going through your mind. What are things that I know that are soft like that? So then you maybe have to use your mind a little bit to think, to kind of remember and try to guess. But the experience of softness is not a thought. It's just soft. So, the rush to think, the rush to understand, limits how much we can actually feel and be with what is. So a lot of, this is why I like to think of, we shouldn't use the word mindfulness for our practice, but we should use the word bodyfulness. Because mind, you know, the word mindfulness in the mind kind of, for some people, overemphasizes this mental side of it all. That keeps us a little bit removed from the experience. Whereas bodyfulness puts us in the experience, sense and feel it and be with it. And the body is always in the present moment. Your mind not might not be, probably isn't. And so if you are relying too much on the mind and your thoughts to navigate through your life, navigate through your meditation, you're probably are less often going to be in the present moment than if you use your body to navigate the path, to navigate the practice, navigate your life. Come here, be here in your body, and what does it feel? What goes on here? How's the body experiencing it? The reason I wanted to mention all this is that to make a different point, and that is that when we begin relaxing and softening all the thoughts we have about life, and we're more in our body, then we can allow something to emerge out of the body that is, can take a very different shape in our lives than if it comes out of our thinking about things and figuring and also thinking that comes in the wake of a lot of emotions that kind of are driving the thoughts. But in a deeper place. And I like the word aspiration. And the word aspiration is kind of very nice because it's a word that, at least through Latin, is connected to the word to breathe, like respiration. And so what is the aspiration that arises out of you? If you have an expectation or a demand, my image of that is both expectation and demand or wanting something too much is we become limited. We kind of get tied down or, you know, weighed down. It's a burden to have expectations. But the word, at least for me, the word aspiration is born in our hearts or born in deep inside, and it opens us. It kind of expands us in the process. Ah, like the heart's wish or something. And aspiration is something that feels really good to have, even if you can't act on it. And isn't that nice? So you don't have to have it fulfilled to get the benefits from having an aspiration. It just means, oh yeah, that would be nice. Maybe someday. And so as opposed to having a desire where we feel like I have to have it. It has to happen now. Aspiration for me is more of a, you know, this is a wish, heart's wish. It flows up, comes out of me. And may it be so, or let's see how it plays out. So sometimes if you can drop below the usual thinking place and drop into the body, relax into the body, and then find out what is it that wants to be expressed through the body, what wants to come out of you, what wants to live in you, not because you thought about it, because you made space for something different to arise. Some people find that taking time in nature or meditating or just being quiet sometimes, like taking a Sabbath day, is very helpful because it sometimes allows the deeper movements inside, deeper feelings, aspirations, thoughts, to kind of finally have a chance to come forward. I don't know how it is for you, but for me, I sometimes have felt that some of the deepest aspirations or wishes or movements in my life that have been so important for me are shy. And quiet. And so if there's a lot of noise, it's, you know, not only can't hear it, it's drowned out, but it's going to kind of recede and be shy and, you know, and not be known. And so by having some kind of quiet time or some kind of meditation, some other kind of way of settling below the thoughts, sometimes can allow what's deeper to show itself. And then once it shows itself, maybe then you can welcome back your thinking and figure out maybe how to live that way or follow through. So what is your aspiration? if you get really quiet and you don't answer from your mind, but answer from the quiet place in the heart, does anything come out of there for you? What is your aspiration? If you had no fear, no worries, if you had no expectations that you were living under, if you're allowed to wish for anything, when you get into that still place or quiet place, what kind of aspiration is born then? In that kind of courage or that kind of allowance that allows something deep inside to come before there's reasons why you can't, or social restrictions that go on. Well, that's not appropriate. What's in you? And I like to believe, I hope it's true, that when we really get kind of settled to this deeper place inside, the embodied deeper place, that our aspirations are good, they're trustable. There's something that we can kind of, you know, it's a good place to come from in our lives. So as you do this mindfulness practice, and you learn to make the transition from thinking to being, from mindfulness, full, you know, from having a full mind. Is that what mindfulness means? No? to bodyfulness, a full body, then, sooner or later, hopefully, your aspiration, you'll discover something, and maybe that will surprise you even by what comes out of you. So thank you. And so we have